says, "Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.'" 1 Peter 3. "Do not be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God."
Thanks, Jo. Thank you. You notice the emphasis that moves from the outward to the inner in those readings, isn't it? God looks upon the heart. That middle reading there was when King David, when Samuel was sent to find a king, and he looks on the outward appearance, doesn't he? He looks at what goes on the outward. He sees this big strapping guy, and he can't believe that God could possibly have chosen someone like David. Beauty that God sees is an inner beauty. Image obsession changes the way we see, and this is why it's so important. It changes the way that we see ourselves. It affects us. Our sense of identity is bound up with our appearance. So what happens when, as we heard this morning, when we grow old and wrinkly, and our hair turns grey? If self-image is based upon what we feel about ourselves, or what others think about us, it won't take much for it to fall apart. But also, image obsession is based not just on the way we see ourselves, but the way we see others. It changes the way we see others. It's so easy, isn't it? We look at a person and we view them upon what we see. We view our relationships with others in the way that it might improve or spoil our image. When image is our obsession, our friends, our kids, even our marriage partner can become an accessory to improve our image. There was a Christian girl at school. She used to hang out with a group of friends. And one day a girl started to meet with them who was a little bit boring, she struggled to kind of fit in. She wasn't very bright, and to be honest, she wasn't very cute either. But it was very clear very quickly that she wore a second-hand uniform. At first, the group welcomed her, but soon it became clear that it was damaging their image. And so they pushed her out of the group, and this Christian girl said, "So did I, because my image mattered to me more." Image obsession changes the way we think about God. The physical creation displays, the Bible says, the glory of God. It's designed to fill us with a sense of awe and wonder and drive us to worship. It's meant to remind us who we are, of our true identity as creatures of God. It's not wrong to recognize physical beauty. It's not wrong to recognize that someone has, beautiful eyes. It's not wrong to notice that a person has beautiful hair or a lovely bone structure to their face. It's good to be physically fit and healthy, but we were created to get a sense of who we are from our Creator, not from the creation. People who believe or live as if there's no God and therefore no eternity can so easily live for the present, for the best that can be gained in this world, so happiness and meaning and purpose are defined by what we can experience in the moment. And physical things rise in importance rather than the spiritual that we read about just a moment ago. But it also affects the way that we think about God in this way, because people can feel that they have to impress others in order to be accepted. We can think about God that way. That we have to impress God before he'll accept us. That we've got to reach some kind of standard before God will welcome us. And also, when we become obsessed by our image, we feel we have to hide who we are. Because if people really knew the truth about what we're like, they probably wouldn't want to know us. And we can do the same with God. We can try to hide who we really are because we think, well, if God really knew the truth about me, he'd never accept me. But how wrong that is. And this image obsession and the desire to fit in can drive us away from God. Many of us know that if we follow Jesus Christ, I was just chatting to one of our young people this morning who said that in school, that it was so difficult to be upfront about being a Christian because they knew that it would damage their image and their ability to fit in. Being a Christian will often mean that we're going a different direction from the people around us. Being a Christian may not be good for our image. Well, let's just, before we go on to think about God's gift of our new identity in Christ, let's just pray, and then we're going to sing two songs together as we remind ourselves about who we are in Christ. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we do live in a world that is so obsessed and caught up with image. Perhaps some of us, we think to ourselves, well, I'm not worried too much about the clothes I wear, about the car I drive, or the place that I live. I'm not that worried really about what people even think about me. But loving Father, if we really dig deep and examine our hearts, we often find that these are the very things that do concern us. That we are concerned about what people think about us. And perhaps one of the reasons why, Father, we're sometimes so reluctant to speak so as freely as we should about our Christian faith is because we're concerned about the damage it might do to our image and the way people think about us. And so, loving Father, we pray that we would derive our who we are from what you say about us. Father, we thank you that your word tells us that we are made in your image. We are your representatives. And that we're meant to be living as your people in the world, representing you to the people around us. That we are your image bearers. And in Christ, we are his image bearers. Lord, we pray that we would be those that as we go into our workplaces, into our homes, into our families, into our communities, that we may carry your image and recognize that we, wherever you put us, that we represent Jesus Christ. Father, would you help us in this area? And as we talk to men and women and young people who are caught up in this world where image is so crucial and important, help us to be able to point them to the one in whose image they were created. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing two songs together. The first is about the God who creates everything, who creates us. The Bible says he made it good. Who paints the skies into glorious day? Now, I understand this song is a bit quite challenging to sing along to. Is that right? It's okay. We're all right. It's quite quick. So you've got to be quite quick on this one. So no going to sleep in this song. It's got a bit of a pace. And then, bless the Lord, oh my soul, 10,000 reasons. Let's stand.
Serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to all that is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on the earth, you'll show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's the life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better. But you know better now, so make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with his label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offence. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it.
Sometimes it's quite good to read a familiar passage in a completely different version, and particularly because of the emphasis it places upon image and restored image. But the reality is that the Bible tells us that our true identity has been lost. That sense of who we are. When Adam and Eve stopped trusting in God and turned away from him, in the Garden of Eden, that image was marred. Because we tend to worship what gives us identity. Ever since, we try to find acceptance and status and achievement and security through kind of working our way up, maybe through a career ladder, through gathering around us more and more impressive stuff. But our identity, the Bible says, was never meant to be rooted in our physical selves. It was never meant to be attached to the size of our car or to what we look like. The Bible, it focuses on the heart. That's what God sees, and that's what God looks at. But in a world that's obsessed with the outer image, of course, the heart gets very little of a look in. It often is just ignored. But what we need to realize is that we can only find that true identity in God and in relationship with him. God made us to know him. And the only way that we can be free from this world's obsession with image is to stop focusing on the image we hope to create for ourselves. And instead to look to what God alone can give us. That new identity. I'm well aware that for many people, that God is the last place they would go to looking for approval and acceptance. They would probably think something like this: if I can't impress my friends, what hope do I ever have of impressing God? But it's when we leave God out of our lives, that's why we become so desperate to find acceptance and the approval of others. But God wants to deal with our fears and our anxieties. He wants to bring us to a place of safety, a place of security, a place of strength. He wants to make us the people he wants us to be. So when we turn to God through faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, as we saw it in that reading, that we're given a new identity, a wonderful new identity, a new status. Colossians 3 was written to Christians who'd started to believe that their relationship with God was based upon what they did and what they're able to achieve. And Paul, he writes this letter to them because he wants them to know that they've got it all wrong. He tells them it's not about what they've done, but what God has done for them. God fills what was once this ugly darkness of my heart with his glory. He makes me beautiful. He reunites me with himself. He recreates me in Christ with a new beautiful image, a new status, a new relationship with through faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says we actually share in God's divine nature. I don't know if that's how you think of yourself, but that's what the Bible says, that you share, if you're a Christian, in the very divine nature of God. And it changes not only our identity, our status, it changes the way that we see ourselves. Do you notice that Paul talked in that reading earlier about this new resurrection life with Christ? We often talk, don't we, especially at times of baptism, that a Christian is someone who's left behind an old life and found a new identity that has been given to them, rooted not in the world, but in Christ. And then when that happens, it makes no difference whether we're rich or poor or black or white or married or single or able or disabled or working or unemployed. That image is not rooted into any of those things. Knowing that God accepts us because of what Christ has done sets us free from this desire for image. Because instead of chasing after the acceptance of others, I recognize that the creator of the universe has already accepted me. I don't have to live under the expectation of others. I don't have to conform to a particular shape or image. God loves me and accepts me just as I am. And the wonderful thing is it changes the way that I see others. Ultimately, we often can view people by having the right job or the right circumstances, the right qualifications. We can think it's all about being with the right group of friends. We stop judging people by what they wear. It doesn't matter whether the person is married or not, or drives a Mercedes, lives in a mansion, is a millionaire, a managing director, or drives a banged-up car, or is a bin collector. It doesn't matter. What is of absolute importance is that we are in that relationship with Jesus and that we will spend eternity with him. And Paul goes on in that reading, verses 9 to 11, to say that this new identity changes the way that we live. Do you see that? Verses 9 to 11. Don't lie to each other. You've done with that old life. It's like a filthy, ill-fitting set of clothes that you've stripped off and put in the fire. You're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with his designer label on it. We were created in God's image. When you become a Christian, you start to become more and more the image God made you to be. He kits you out, as it were, in a new set of designer clothes that reflect his glory. And he starts to change us so that we start to live differently in a way that reflects this new identity that we have in Christ. Did you notice what the wardrobe looks like? Can you see any of the items of this new wardrobe? Oh, do you remember what they were? Compassion. Well, somebody else, tell me another item in this wardrobe. Compassion. Love.
Quiet strength.
Quiet strength, yeah. Gentleness.
Kindness.
humility, discipline, even content, even temperedness, contentment. Even when we get given that second place, quick to forgive an offense, when God is at work in us, making us more and more like Jesus, more and more reflecting his image. But notice where this work takes place. It's not an outward work, it's inner, it's our heart, isn't it? It's our work in the heart. And of course, this new identity changes my focus. We're probably good here to flick to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through to 16. I'll just read a few of those verses where we read this. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. We read that reading this morning, didn't we? Do you remember? Yeah. For by our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Think about the impact of that kind of life in an image-obsessed world. If becoming like Jesus is what matters more than anything else, buying the right stuff, being with the right people, making sure that my face and my body fit the latest trends, and everything that the world sees as crucial will hold your attraction less and less. Now, I'm not saying that Christians will go around wearing sandals and socks and looking really kind of outdated. That's not what this passage is saying. I think we should wear what enhances the beauty of who we are and how God has made us. But what we will find is more and more is that our life is reflecting who we are in Christ. Who we are in Christ. When I was thinking about how to draw this to a close, I was thinking about that woman. Do you remember the woman at the well? And I guess Jesus comes to her. She's a Samaritan. She's an outcast, really. And Jesus comes to this woman. And I suppose you would say that in every way she was rejected. She didn't have the right circumstances. She was in a very messy marriage and had multiple marriages before that. Her life was a mess. But Jesus gives this woman value. And I came across a video, I may have shown it here before, I'm not sure, but it's a video that I think really brings out from a story the way that Christ gives value to broken people. And it's given in the first person as this woman tries to, in a more contemporary setting. And it describes how this woman, who was a total mess of broken relationships and disappointments, someone who was ignored and ashamed, who had a reputation that was pretty rough. She was despised. And I guess she probably thought that God thought the same about her. But that day at the well, she met a man who saw beyond the outward appearance. Someone who cared enough to tell her how God really felt about her. Someone who loved her so much that he was willing to die on the cross for her. Well, this video tells her story. Thanks, Lucy. We're going to sing together now as we draw to a close. I'm accepted, I'm forgiven, I'm fathered by the true and living God.